How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Eastern with Jim Valley on Saturdays, and Sundays, 6 p.m. with me. How are you guys doing? Another crazy week of professional wrestling, another jam-packed week of professional wrestling. This is a hot period. I'm really enjoying what's going on in both companies. AEW a little bit more, but this Roman Reigns stuff is fantastic. I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about NXT Vengeance Day that took place last night. A lot of mixed feelings about this show. I'm going to bring MG Geek, our producer, in when we talk about this because I am, you know, the direction of NXT has been a lot of stop and goes. We you know, they became developmental after being this tremendously hot product for a number of years. They veered off whatever their plan was originally, and they went into a Ring of Honor-like competitor, and now they're back to developmental, but they ran a show with over 5,000 people in attendance, so we're going to talk about that, and everything happening with Cody, and the Bloodline, and Sammy, and Roman. How do they pivot to Cody and make it work? Because I'm a little concerned, after seeing the reaction Sammy's been getting, which well-deserved. If this was October and you were running this program, it should be Sami Zayn all day, every day. But right now we're in WrestleMania season and you have to get to WrestleMania in a way that Cody looks great. We're going to talk about that and a new TNT champion. Man, what a great match. Samoa Joe, Darby Allin. Brutal match. That and a whole lot more today on the show. I got to break this all down for everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition here on Sports Byline. Let's go down some of the news of the week. We'll start off with sad news. Lenny Poffo, famously known as the Genius from the Poffo family, Macho Man Randy Savage's brother, passed away at the age of 68 years old. The news was broken by Hacksaw Jim Duggan on Facebook. And he wrote, "With a very, very heavy heart, I've been asked to let everybody know that the passing of our friend and colleague, Lenny Poffo, the Genius. No cause of death was given. He was living in Ecuador recently. And he was still very active. Very unique character, very unique story. I think everybody knows the story of him. You know, a high flyer for his time. You know, double drop kicks and cross bodies. And, you know, it's amazing how we've evolved as far as the style goes. But he definitely was a very talented pro wrestler in WWE. He was known for the Genius character, his feud with Hogan. I remember it as the Genius, managing the Beverly Brothers. What a bizarre 90s team that is. And we kind of have we got a Beverly Brothers reference the other day on AEW. Very sad to hear, 68 years old. He was in relatively good shape still. He was doing interviews. He was doing a lot of stuff. He was still active. So very sad to see the news of his passing. WWE fourth quarter financials and investor call took place. They reported the company's best, $1.3 billion in net revenue. Astronomical numbers. An increase of 18% year over year. I mean, in a rough economy, they're still pulling out all that money. A lot of it is TV rights fees, obviously, but it's not hurting that the product is hotter than it was. Matt, MG, would you say it's hotter than what 2019 was as far as your interest level goes?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Overall, you think so?
Yeah. I just think there's more. Well, first of all, you got the story at the top of this, that the Roman Sammy. I think that's engaging interest.
Of course, yeah.
More involved in the product. 2019, it was heating up, and unfortunately, I think what happened was the pandemic
just
deflated everything.
Yeah, I bring this up all the time. I bring this up all the time. The emphasis that they were going to have on Drew McIntyre as being the next guy was astronomical. I mean, that was the plan and everything. I mean, obviously 2020 happened and everything kind of grinded to a halt, but this is fantastic numbers. $1.3 billion in net revenue increase of 18% year over year. Triple H said that having, now this is interesting, having McMahon around has been great. And having him back, even just at a board level, is a tremendous asset for the company. A lot of people were commenting about this. And my automatic response was, what do you want him to say? He's not going to publicly ever. I mean, listen, this is how he could possibly feel. I'm not saying he's not telling the truth, but even if he wasn't telling the, you know, even if he felt differently, he's not going to go publicly and say this is a detriment to the company in the middle of a sale period. To me, it was just a standard corporate answer. He acknowledged the exploration of a sale without saying the word sale, and that they were reviewing all options for shareholder value. That's another key word that they've been saying. Nick Khan says that more companies have interest in WWE media rights than last time around, which very interesting. Who else could be a player here? Khan also said that McMahon's inclusion in running WWE wouldn't be a factor in the sale, and that he would step down and not be involved if it meant more for shareholder value. Again, that shareholder value is something, is key here. Also, during that CNBC interview, if you guys saw it, Nick also said that the WWE sale would happen quickly, possibly within 3 months. Which, you know, 3 months, you're talking around the time of WrestleMania? I would imagine they would announce it after WrestleMania, whatever it is, right? Because that's when, you know, we'll kind of find out what's happening with TV. But they need to get TV in place before they sell the company. I mean, that's going to be... The value of the company is really based on their TV rights, so I'm assuming they're trying to get the most bang for their buck. There was also a story that when he was doing that CNBC interview, one of the commentators mentioned that Comcast is not really interested. And I found that to be a fascinating comment he made. Comcast not being interested is not something that we have all heard. And if it is, he is not. If Comcast is not interested, then really doesn't the story really fall back to a private equity group? Most likely, you know, I mean, we know the story that the Saudis would be involved. But I mean, maybe Comcast wouldn't want Vince in charge, right? That, it would be a very different company if Comcast ran it. I think people are now forgetting you would most likely get absorbed in their way of business. So that whole corporate structure would shift. The business structure would shift. Along with a lot of other things. So maybe that is not the best thing to keep WWE the way it is. Because since they're on a roll right now. Very interesting. You can check out that CNBC story on their website. AEW is kicking off their house shows. AEW House Rules, a live series that begins on March 18th in Troy, Ohio. You have Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Britt Baker, Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, and more to be announced. This is... this is what they wanted to do. They did a couple when they first started. Not very profitable at all, but they were doing it to get talent out there. But they're going to be touring here. I'm very curious on what this does. What kind of buildings are they going to run? Do you want to do 2,000-3,000 people? Can you? AEW is not what it was in 2020 or 2019 as far as, you know, that interest level. Not that they're, you know, I can't blame the product because I very much enjoy the product. I just think there's a couple elements here. We'll talk about that. I got a really nice email from somebody. I got to read that for when we were doing Matt Men, and they were talking about, you know, what they see wrong with AEW. And they started it off saying that that's really, they primarily watch AEW and that's their favorite product. But the stories are lacking for him. I think it depends on what you like in pro wrestling. Are you a story guy? Or do you want to see good wrestling? Unfortunately, I like to see really good wrestling. And you can't really sustain a million plus with just wrestling anymore. You need something else. It's changed. Viewership has changed. People's habits have changed. You need to do more to gain that audience. Also, a report came out that AEW is considering... starting a streaming service, likely through Warner Brothers Discovery. I mean, I think that's going to go into the conversation about the next TV rights deal, which I want to touch on in the next segment a little bit, because both companies are going into TV rights. A lot of money people want. And what does it mean for AEW? Would that be something that they want to do? Very curious about that. New Japan announced the departure of Kota Ibushi. It's also a big story here. Kota Ibushi, not a guy that really liked to be locked down to one company. That was always a story about him. He did a great job in that Cruiserweight Classic, but didn't want to sign with them. Obviously, he's a DDT guy, went to New Japan, had a really strong run in New Japan. Just beloved. And I guess management issues have pushed him out. And now he's available. He's going to be working GCW Bloodsport, which is hysterical, and GCW Spring Break 7, WrestleMania weekend. There's also a rumor that he was approached with an offer to be Manny Pacquiao's first opponent in Ryzen. I don't think that's a good idea. I really don't think he should be facing Manny Pacquiao. Unless the payout's fantastic. Then do it. Take that money and run. But I mean, seeing him in GCW Bloodsport, okay, that kind of makes sense. I know he's a fan of that product. Doing Spring Break, fine. But where does he go from here? Interest on both sides. He's facing who?
Bailey at Bloodsport.
At Bloodsport. Wow. Mike Bailey's on a tremendous climb right now. Really great talent. Very interesting. It really depends. Where does he go? Right? Who does he want to go to? He's not a guy that very much likes to be locked down to a contract. So I think he would have more freedom on the AEW side to do things than the WWE side. But, you know, he's in his late 30s now. There's only so much more he could do with time. I think the big story should be he goes to AEW and does something there. You got the Kenny and him match, maybe. You got the Kenny and him tag. You could do a lot here. When we come back, I want to take some time and talk about the TV deal and all these rumors around AEW and what they could possibly look at this year. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday edition here on Sports Byline. Fedor had his final match last night at Bellator 290 on CBS. The Last Emperor lost via first round TKO 230. Against Ryan Bader. You know, he's the last of that generation of those Pride guys. Were his opponents the best? Probably not, but Pride was a total spectacle, and what a great product to watch. I was a huge Pride fan. I preferred it over UFC because of the pomp and circumstance around everything. You know, it was a bigger show at the time. But one of the last guys, and, you know, 46 years old. Ryan Bader, I think he's like 39. He's not that young, or 38, but time has caught on. And that was the big story with Fedor and how, you know, it was time. And that was it for him. He wanted to have the match in Russia originally, but because of the war, obviously that's not something that's happening. But this is it. Fedor's done. The last of that generation, really. Interesting show on CBS. I'm curious what the ratings do. But since we're talking about TV, I wanted to take a moment and talk about AEW and their TV and what's going on. Great. I've loved the show on Wednesday. It was a really good show. That opening with Jon Moxley and Hangman was great. Great match. I thought the show top to bottom, they did a lot to create, you know, to put emphasis on the future and the stars and everything else that they're doing. But, you know, this is a company that's in a TV deal year. And WWE is a very, very hot product right now. And I know people are in denial about this. But when you look at their financials and you look at their ratings increasing and you look at their show numbers as far as the gates go, it's a hot product. Whether or not you like every aspect of it, for me, the Bloodline stuff is the thing to tune into. Roman and Sammy, that's a very captivating story. Cody winning the Rumble, captivating story. But when you compare it to AEW, they're both in a TV deal. What kind of money is AEW going to get? You know, we hear that they want a streaming platform, which they need. 100% they need that streaming platform. How is it that I don't have a way to do this? You know, there's no archival service that has all the AEW shows on there. You got to bounce around whether or not you're on BR Live or, you know, you're viewing it on the TBS app. Now, I'm not even sure if it's next day on TBS, to be honest. Somebody told me that it is. When I had checked a while ago, it wasn't up for me. So I'm curious about that. But, you know, these are all parts of the negotiation. And the network will always want more. So is the conversation that they need to add more hours in order to get more money? And unfortunately, if that's the case, and, you know, you're looking at a third hour of Dynamite, which I don't know if I want that. It's very possible Tony could figure it out and do a third hour properly. He has a ton of talent on there, but you're fighting time. And it's the same problem that Raw has. If Raw was a two-hour product, I don't think the complaints would be as visceral about that show. I have great difficulty. Even if it's a really good Raw, I have great difficulty sitting there for 3 hours. It's just not... We've reconditioned our brains as far as content consumption, and that's something that people overlook. My background's in media. I see analytics constantly from clients as far as interest on a website, interest on a video, and it's getting shorter and shorter. We're in this TikTok generation of content consumption where if you're not getting the information within the first 15 seconds, you're over it. Now, for live sports, it's different, but there's still that fatigue that plays a part. When everything else is much shorter, and now you got to sit there for 3 hours and there's some lull periods in there, you know, it's a problem. I don't think Tony wants to do 3 hours. I think we all know Tony doesn't want to do 3 hours because that's how Rampage came about. The network wanted more, and that was their compromise, to do another one-hour show. And of course it's a compromise, because who in the right mind would prefer a time slot of 10 p.m. on a Friday? It's a very difficult time slot to do any really strong numbers in. Just not a thing. So you got to look at what are you doing here? Do you add another hour to Rampage? You also have the Ring of Honor deal you need content for that you did not get done. You got to pop those numbers up a little bit this year for your TV. So there's a lot of moving parts here. That Bloomberg article was something. Did you see that? Big jacked up Tony Khan on the cover. Ultimate Warrior level Tony Khan. That was a scary AI image, let me tell you. Big jacked up dude. If you have not seen it, go look at that Bloomberg cover. Hysterical. Tony should love that. You know, we're both the same age. We grew up in that same generation of wrestling. If that was a major publication that photoshopped me on some big jacked up wrestler, I'd love it. But the article is a little weird story there. I don't want to give you my bias here. I think you guys should go read it. But you know, he's in a contract year, so we're gonna see what happens there. Very interesting stuff. Let's go into some of the Sami Zayn stuff, because on SmackDown, they did a great piece of business at the end. And this is the story, right? How are they going to get to Cody? How do they get there? It's going to be difficult. You created this mega babyface in Sami Zayn by accident on WWE's behalf, pure talent on Sami's behalf. A 3-week program has turned into a huge, huge thing. But how do you move here? So at the end of SmackDown, Roman came out and he's cutting a promo and he's saying how he would much rather spend his time talking about a deserving opponent like Cody that won the Rumble. And, you know, the boost came. I'm like, I don't know if that was the best thing to say at the end. Sami came out, ambushed him, chased him, challenged him. Sami gets jumped by the Bloodline. Roman off mic, which I'm loving this off mic stuff that they're doing. If you've noticed, the mic's getting distorted now, and that is by design, because they want you to feel that this is not supposed to happen. It's one of those it's not supposed to happen with the distortion in the audio. Nice little piece. I like that. And Roman is telling him that he's going to embarrass him in front of everybody in Montreal, in front of his family and friends and his fans. Great. Awesome. How are you going to get... I mean, listen, I think people want to see Sami and Roman at this point, and the expectation is that Sami's not going to win it, but how do you pivot to Cody now? It's going to be a challenge. And is Cody going to be able to do it with his, you know, baby, super baby face promos that he's cutting about his family and the chance, and he's so grateful to be here, you know. In front of the wrong audience, they're going to turn on him heavily. Hasn't happened yet, but they got to be careful here, and it's going to be no fault of Cody's, to be honest. It's going to be really, it's going to be what the audience wants, and the audience really wants Sammy. Should it be the WrestleMania match? No, it should not be the WrestleMania match. But you're going to have to pivot. So it's going to, I would say, I lost my screen here. There we go. I lost my screen and I don't know where I am. There we go. I would say that you're going to do, you know, 3-on-3s, obviously, with Cody and Sammy and Kevin against the Bloodline. That's going to get us through a month of stuff. So you make it okay. Hey, look, guys, they're friends. Sammy wants him to beat him for the title. Sammy will come out and do a rah-rah to Cody. Do it. You know, I couldn't do it, but you're going to be able to do it. You're going to be able to take him down. And, you know, maybe that'll work. But WrestleMania is also very unpredictable with that crowd. MG, you think Cody is going to get booed at all?
Well, it depends on how they do it. Now, for me, I think what you do is you got to get the heat back on the Usos. I know Brian Alvarez talked about this a couple weeks ago on this show, where you somehow, I think the Jey Uso stuff leads to him ultimately betraying Sammy and siding with his family. And we get KO. Yeah, you have to get the heat back on the Usos in order to let Cody shine. But I don't know. I guess a huge heat spot in Sammy's hometown after the match. I guess.
Yeah, and
it,
you know,
right?
What happens? And then Cody comes out and saves, you know, Kevin. And, you know, I mean, you could do that. You could have, you know, the Bloodline. Sammy loses. Kevin comes out to save him. Jey pops out of nowhere, cuts off, you know, they handcuff both of them, a total beatdown, and here comes Cody to save the day. Roman and him go face-to-face, they do a thing, and then now all of a sudden Cody's okay.
Now we're off to the races.
And you're off to the races, yeah. I mean, you could do that. I expect them to do that. Mm-hmm. I can't see them not doing that, but you're going to have a very challenging story for Cody, and this is going to be a nice test if they could get themselves out of this, because the Bloodline stuff really has been the biggest story that they've done in years. I can't think of a top story other than the Daniel Bryan stuff. But that was still, again, it wasn't by design. That happened organically. When is the last time the WWE put together a story and guided you where they want you to be that worked? I don't know. Maybe the Shield. CM Punk, you know, but again, that was another happenstance for them. This has been a very interesting program because it's one of the few times that they've told the audience, hey, this is what we're doing. This is who we're doing it with. And everybody's like, yeah, I'm cool with this. I like this. I want to see more. The biggest complaint right now is people don't want the Bloodline to fall apart because it's so good. That's rare. Normally, WWE just, they have something that's hot and they break it down to the floor. I mean, they bury the entire thing because they do it so much. But Roman's very well protected. So very cool stuff here. We're going to see what happens. But matches are already set up. You know, we got the women's title match. We got the men's title match. You got the tag match. You know, these are things that are set up here. We got to go to a quick break when we get back. WWE Vengeance Day. NXT Vengeance Day, I should say, last night. We'll talk about the show and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Last night, NXT Vengeance Day. Their first standalone PLE, live event, pay-per-view, whatever you want to call it, since February 16, 2020. About a month before the entire planet shut down. For a number of months and years. I want to talk about this card very quickly because what a very interesting change of product. This was the last takeover event that took place before the start of the pandemic. NXT was discontinued September of 2021. And take a look at this card. You had Keith Lee and Dominic Dijakovic. You had Dakota Kai and Tegan Knox. You had Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano. You had Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair. You had the Bruiserweights. It was Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne defeating Undisputed Era Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And you had Adam Cole defeating Tommaso Ciampa in a 33-minute match for the NXT Championship. Right? Very different product today. Very different show. What did you think, MG? Well, I want to get your opinion of this Vengeance Day show. What did you think? They had over 5,000 people in attendance, which is, you know, for a company that doesn't tour and has been, you know, subjugated to becoming just developmental, with all new people that most, I mean, Dominic Dijakovic is the only one on that card. And he just went down there. So very unique, very interesting, very different card here. For NXT, what was your thoughts on this watching it live?
I felt like it was more of just a run of the mill show, to be honest with you.
I felt the same way.
It was very, I mean, there was a couple of highlights. Guy that came out with Apollo Crews, why is he, Dabakato, who was Dabakato Commander return. Aziz.
Yeah,
that was like the only really surprise on the whole show. There was no angle that setting up anything else after the steel cage match. It was just kind of there. I mean, it was good, and some of the matches were good. Carmelo Hayes and Apollo had a really good match with an
but you
odd
know what?
Ending.
It was a 2-0 match.
Yeah,
you know, Carmelo Hayes beat him twice in a row, and you know. By the way, this is a Triple H booked product, right? This is his product. Wes Lee and Dijak in the opener. Dijak got a nasty injury to his finger. Apparently, it's not broken. Fallon Henley, Kiana James defeated Katana Chance and Caden Carter to win the titles. You had a 2 out of 3 pinfall, like we said, with Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes is great, by the way. Impressive dude, for sure.
You want a hot take?
Yeah, give me your hot take.
I think he's going to go farther than Bron Breakker.
That, you know what? I 100% could see that.
He is so good on the mic. He doesn't need Trick Williams. And at some point, they need to split those guys off. But, man, I love Carmelo Hayes. He's really good.
Gallus defeated the New Day pretty deadly in Chance U to win the titles. You know what was interesting? Chase, what did I say? Chance you?
Chase you.
All these letters are the same. The emphasis on Pretty Deadly is fascinating to me. A lot of emphasis on them. So I imagine, you know, they are a product that they are a team that's going to come up to the main product. This gets the New Day out of NXT. To do whatever. Roxanne Perez looked great. Defeating Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. Sorry. Too many J's there. To retain the title. And you had the main event. The Steel Cage, Bron Breakker, and Grayson Waller. When is the time for Bron Breakker? Right? Is having him in NXT doing anything for him at this point?
I just think he needs more. What's the word? He needs to be more. Like just get exposed to more beats, character development. I think other than that, he's got the in ring pretty much down.
Yeah,
he's more one note though.
Yeah, he is more one note, but that's fine. Sometimes I'm not holding that against him. If you use him properly, it could work. But once you bring him up, you know, bring him up to the main roster. Maybe he's just not ready yet, but. He doesn't really have anybody in NXT left. I'm looking at this roster. Who's going to beat him? Believably. And you're not taking
Carmelo
someone from
Hayes
the main roster.
The
Carmelo Hayes.
That's
yeah, but,
one.
You know, yeah. But should it be Carmelo Hayes?
Well, it depends on who's coming up, you know. You know, you always have that over your head when you talk NXT, right? When are they going to finally go to the main roster? And that's factored in.
You know, Bron Breakker is obviously so much emphasis on him. He's the golden goose there. But are people, like, looking at this NXT card from, obviously, it's 3 years ago now, right? 3 years ago. I would buy a ticket to see a number of these people. I would want to see Tommaso Ciampa. I'd want to see Adam Cole. I'd want to see Undisputed Era. I'd want to see Finn Balor. I want to see Johnny Gargano. I want to see Keith Lee. I want to see everybody on this card. I would want to see.
Well, a lot of those guys, a lot of those guys had been around for years.
Before. For years, yeah.
Look
but
at
again,
this card.
It's a very
look up and
different
down
company.
This card and say, other than the New Day, say how many of these people have been on my TV for more than a year? All of them are brand new.
I think, you know, Gigi Dolin, obviously, she's going to have a future in that company. Pretty Deadly. You could tell that they're very fond of them. Carmelo Hayes, very obvious the emphasis. Like, he's a favorite down there. But it's really Carmelo Hayes and Bron Breakker, and that's really, and they haven't really convinced me that either one is the guy to come to the main roster tomorrow. They don't have that person.
And on the women's side, it's Roxanne Perez and then everyone else, really.
Listen, you have a TV show that's 2 hours on a Tuesday every week. The ratings are not terrible. I think people look at the number. USA is thrilled with that company being in the 600s, that TV show. 600,000-ish. However, you know, here's how I see this. I love seeing Johnny Gargano on TV, but is it a benefit to him? Like, what? You know, you have Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano back in NXT. What does that do to that TV show? Does it help them? Does it improve their longevity in pro wrestling and their presence on TV? Does it help NXT? I mean, I think you got to reevaluate what you're doing with NXT if you're going to continue being a two-hour product every single week on Tuesday. 600,000, yeah, you could do that, but you're gonna. I mean, right now you're sustaining it because the product's hot. WWE main product is hot right now, so people are tuning in. But this is something that you got to continue to grow, especially in TV rights situations. I don't know exactly how much they're getting for this show, but I was. It wasn't a bad show, but it wasn't a great show. You know what I mean? It was down the middle. Shawn Michaels afterwards held a press conference regarding Dijak. Michael said that the x-rays were taken and it turned out that his finger is not broken. It was put back in place.
Did you see the finger?
I did see the finger. It was nasty.
I don't know how it's not broken, but yeah.
Do you know what I think of? Do you remember when the Mountie got arrested at SummerSlam 91 and the cops are booking him and he's like, give me your finger. He goes, you want a finger? I'll give you a finger. That popped me so much as a kid. Every time someone says something about a finger, that's all that comes to mind in wrestling. Grayson Waller stormed in. This was interesting. And he started running down Sean and saying he's not one of his guys. And he goes, what do you want me to do? You want me to dress up like you? You want me to pose like you? And then he attacked Sean Ross Sapp at a left field. And he's like, who are you talking to? Sean Ross Simp? I had to rewind it like three times and I messaged Sean. And I was like, what the hell? What did you do to this dude?
He was just asking a question. It was so weird.
That poor man. He was just asking a question. All of a sudden he's being attacked by Grayson Waller.
He found himself in an angle.
He caught himself in an angle. You know what? I thought that was pretty cool. It really highlighted Grayson Waller there. That gave me, you know, a little hope for him. But he's right. He goes, what do I have to do? Do I have to be like you? Do I need to be like Deez? Do I need a Diesel? Do I need to do a slap and high five? Pretty cool stuff.
I do like that they're trying new stuff with NXT. That's one thing I always appreciate. Is, you know,
and I think when you don't have, when you don't have established talent there, you can do more of this because you're not going to have people already set in doing things a certain way, which I do appreciate that. I do think it's a very different product. And maybe some of that detriment for me watching it is that it is a different product. And I'm just an old timey guy now and I can't get into it. I don't watch it and say this is really bad. I watch it and say, okay, it was whatever. And that is the problem. And I know a lot of people feel that way as well. A lot of people that are covering it feel that way. And I'm not crapping on the talent whatsoever. If it's developmental, they're doing a great job at it. But for me, I don't have 2 hours to watch a developmental product like I did a couple years ago. You gotta give me more for me to tune in. I'm watching 2 hours of Dynamite. I'm watching an hour of Rampage. I'm watching 2 hours of SmackDown. I'm kind of watching Raw, abridged. I got hours and hours of wrestling. I got 3 hours of AEW that I'm watching. I'm also catching some of their online exclusive stuff. You know, whether, you know, Dark or Dark Elevate, whatever. New Japan, I'm catching on. You know, you got to pick and choose. Impact is on. MLW has a new TV deal. Something is going to give. And right now, it can't be AEW and it can't be main WWE product right now for me. So, really, it becomes NXT, or I miss some of the Impact stuff, or, you know, it just, that's how it is. You know, viewing hours are you're getting pulled everywhere. Before, the concept was, and this goes into every aspect, right? You're no longer competing with just your parallel product. You know, it's not WCW versus WWE. You're competing with everything. You're competing with TikTok. You're competing with YouTube. You're competing with video games. You're competing with Discord. You're competing with Twitch. All of this takes away. 30 years ago, when I was watching WWE, the competition wasn't there. You had Monday Night Football, but nobody was going online and watching online, you know, YouTube. It didn't exist. So these are all things that you need to take into account when it comes to must-see TV. You must make it must-see TV. Appointment television. How do you do that? I don't know how you do that with a developmental product where people go away so often. Final few minutes of the show coming up. Going to a quick break. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline, Sunday edition. Interesting week of pro wrestling ahead. Where are my Dynamite matches, MG? Let's see. Where are my Dynamite matches? Where are my notes? Where am I? Who am I? Where are we? Dynamite this week. We're going to have, here we go, as he's copying and pasting. MJF facing off against Takeshita in an AEW World Title Eliminator match. Ricky Starks attempts to run the Guevara-Garcia gauntlet. Bryan Danielson versus Roosh. I'm looking forward to this. I thought they would do Zack Sabre Jr. somehow, considering he's in the States. I really thought they could make it work. You know what? I'm disappointed, personally. Not that they ever mentioned this at all. AEW Women's Champion Jamie Hayter takes on the Bunny in a title eliminator match, and the Acclaimed defend the AEW Tag Team Championship against the Guns. A lot of people assuming Billy turns on the Acclaimed, and you got to do something cool there. I don't know. But a nice lineup of matches, and we're getting to a pay-per-view. You think it's time for Danielson to win that title? Should MJF lose the title? Or are you continuing the story that Danielson just can't cut it for the big ones? That has really been his story with title matches and challenges. He tied with Kenny. He couldn't do it with Hangman. You know, this is a story for Danielson. Slow burn. Eventually, there's going to have to be a payoff, and he's going to become AEW World Heavyweight Champion. And I think, you know, going into a TV deal, you might want to do that without a CM Punk. So we'll see what happens. But a whole lot more next week. We'll be back on Wrestling Observer Live. Hey, do me a favor. Follow me on Twitter, @AndrewZarian. Everything else I do is on there. And we'll see you all next time. Take care.